Thank you all. I will call our July meeting of the Transylvania County Planning Board to order. We welcome all of you that are here in attendance. The first item on our agenda is public comment, and I understand that several of you are here to address the issue or some concerns with the sign ordinance. Feel free to speak now if you'd like to. If you would prefer to wait until we are actually entertaining that as an agenda item, we'll let you speak then as well. When we're on topic and on point, or if you want to talk about something else, or you'd like to go ahead now, you can feel free. So, with that said, I'll open up the floor for public comment.
So, would that speak on the signage?
If you want, you can speak now, or you can wait till we entertain the sign ordinance changes.
If it's okay, I'll be going somewhere else. So
yeah, go ahead. Absolutely, go ahead.
I appreciate that.
If you will, we need name and
state his name.
Just the name is all. Okay. If you'll state your name before.
Yes, my name is Al Brothers.
Okay.
And I'm from Raleigh, and I had the opportunity to help write the Raleigh sign ordinance back in the 80s, before y'all all were born. Some of you.
Not me.
Let me give you some thoughts. I have a residence here, so I'm back and forth, but I still work out of my Raleigh office. Let me give you some thoughts as to concern the balance between Transylvania County and Raleigh. Raleigh, of course, is the purpose of signage in Raleigh. People go to Raleigh to go to college, to have business. Their reasons for being there are mostly money-driven. Transylvania County strikes me as the reason to be here is for the environment, or one of the strongest draws about Transylvania County is this beautiful mountain rural environment that has been fairly well preserved up until what I think might be coming. I use the term encroaching Asheville. Loosely. But along with that, signage is a different trick out here than it is in a place in the urban environment. And I submit to you that Transylvania County is a very special environment for that. And for that reason, it deserves a really unique sign ordinance, an approach that serves to protect a little bit of what we call a rainforest. And what happens here can be a real mark of transition for the rest of the country, because this is an unusual environment. There are no major malls here. It's still practically, for all purposes, it's a rural environment. And there's a great heritage of music and culture that's beginning to evolve here that's really well established. I apologize for my rough notes. Signage is about one thing, and that's navigation. There is a subtitle called safety. But if you think of signage as navigation, and then drive down the road, you can see a lot of stuff that's not about navigation. And in my mind, with the rush of time and the rush of business going on now, you're going to have to minimize the kind of information that's going on out there. It's a wrestling match, but distraction is a big word in my vocabulary. Can be worsened by the kinds of speeds, the kind of scale, appropriate scale or inappropriate scale that signage can get to. For instance, I think of a two-lane road, say 276, you're coming in around a curb, you're behind a bicyclist. And there's a sign over there that's got more information than you can possibly take in. It's got phone numbers, it's got websites. You're not going to stop. If you do stop, you're causing problems. You're not going to turn around, but if you turn around, you're causing problems. If you try to read that sign, you're going to hit that bicyclist. And that's the kind of phenomena I think is an increasing situation in there. Another point that I wanted to make was that signage is evolving. I think probably we're going to wind up with roads without signs, probably not far in the future. The technology is already here. Your car will tell you where you are. Your car can tell you, your phone can tell you exactly where you are. You don't need a sign like you did in the past. I mean, everybody's got an iPhone. You know? So we're thinking about maybe down the road, the technology's here. It's not going to be long before that little QR reader in your pocket can just aim it at that building and you know where you are. So that's an even greater impetus to think about a sign ordinance as it goes down the road. It's not today, but somewhere down the road we're going to see that. The electronic navigation that's evolving. There's another side of that coin, and that's the electronic signs. And we've used them and worked with them. 550 square feet. You can wire those things up to show movies. And driving down the road, a two-lane road with a movie screen on there, what you gonna watch? But that's, to me, that's an appropriate place for those signs, and it's really not on the roads. To me, it's in a parking lot or some place where people can sit still and take that information in. But you have to watch out for that because the billboard industry, that's a big money maker for them. And the folks that own property, the farmers that own property on the side of the road, they make money from leasing the property for that billboard. So there's a kind of a quid pro quo kind of situation that can happen. So it's one of those things we need to get in front of it because it's coming down from Oregon. You've seen it already, I'm sure, by the airport. And sometimes government's the worst part of it. Let me talk a little bit about confusion. I've seen signs that kind of contradict themselves as you go down the road. There might be one sign that says something, then another sign that says something else. So simplicity, I think, is kind of the key to that. Light pollution. You can overlight signage, and again, in a rainforest where there are animals and stuff like that, what good does it do at 2 a.m. when there's no traffic there to have this big, bright spotlight up in the sky when nature doesn't really accommodate that kind of thing? I want to talk about moving signage, wind-driven and electronically driven signage. There are a lot of banners out there, and they whip around in the wind. I think they're a distraction, but I understand why they exist, and there's probably a place for them. I don't know that there's maybe a used car lot or something like that. You kind of expect to see it, but you do have to watch out for that, and electronic signs and wind-blown tubes that flop around and stuff like that. Again, it's neat stuff, but I think it needs to be kind of way off the road, kind of past 100 feet in a lot of situations. And that's one of the things that really needs to be studied. Appropriate scale. There's this trade-off between speed and legibility. And if you're going down the road 50 miles an hour, there's some figures out there, and I'm sure you guys have read about it. There's some studies that can tell you roughly what size a letter can be read at 50 miles an hour from 30 feet and 50 feet on down there. I've seen some really out of scale signage that I could read from a mile away on the side of buildings. It's not to say that's bad, it's just to say that the more they are, the more distracting it gets. So one sign might work fine, but if it gets like Dollywood, then it starts to be a navigation problem or a distraction problem. So how do you pace that kind of thing? You know, it's a future trouble situation is what I'm saying. I talked a little bit about too much information. We found out in Raleigh that height is not helpful to legibility. There are a couple of reasons. One is you get to a certain height as you approach a sign or an image, you're into that kind of gray area of your windshield and you're really losing information, or you have to slow down and kind of take it in. So there's an appropriate kind of window of space between the hood of your car and maybe 8 to 10 feet up that really kind of is the ideal zone for communications. You know, we put a lot of signs down 3 feet and nobody's had a problem with them. Of course, I mean, you're always going to have something, but if you look at, say, Hilton Head, they've got a fairly stringent signage code down there. I don't know that applies to Transylvania County, but down there, you know, the environment is part of what they're selling, basically. And I believe that's about all my stuff. It's everything I know.
Thank you.
Questions?
I think most of what you addressed there, especially the lighting, I know for sure, we're addressing in the sign ordinance. I think most of those options that, or most of the things he hit on, the only thing I know that we don't address is forcing signs to be placed down as opposed to
right.
to on a pole or something of that nature.
Right.
But you correct me if I'm wrong, Mark.
The current ordinance, and maybe that's something for everybody in the audience, we've had an ordinance for a long time. Planning Board, at staff's recommendation, took this up to look at revisions to it because of a law that was taken up, the Supreme Court heard it, and basically it said you cannot control the content of a sign. And so we realized that our ordinance was not in compliance with the legal proceedings rulings that have come down. So we have brought this to the Planning Board. They have looked at it and said, what are the things that staff has had problems with? What are things that we are concerned with? And that's the draft that is out there right now. And so, Daryl, to your point, many of the things that Mr. Brothers is talking about are addressed. The issue becomes one of scale.
Yeah.
Our ordinance addresses height. There's a maximum height, but it doesn't say that you have to have it at a height that is really probably the best height. We don't know what that is.
Right.
We just have a maximum. But yes, we do address, I think that knowing some of the other speakers that want to talk later, there are similar concerns, and actually I think they have some specific wording that they would like you to look at, and so we may want to take that under consideration, but all of that kind of ties in. I actually think Al's comments are almost a preamble to something else that we're gonna hear some more.
I figured I'd get preambled down. A comment about lighting. There's a total revolution in lighting with LEDs.
Oh, yes.
Nobody's got a good handle on that. But lumen levels are pretty much dictated in manuals from the American Society of Lumen Engineers. I'm not sure they know what's going on. But that's something to watch and be careful of. The good news is they don't eat up a whole lot of energy. And the bad news is they don't really know what they're doing. So.
Yeah, the one thing that a previous planning board actually worked on was the electronic signs. there was language that staff worked on, planning board drafted, came up with and approved a draft to the county commissioners. And the commissioners actually said, we don't want to regulate that. They did not want to. So this ordinance, the current ordinance, does not address electronic signs. And this board has not said that they want to look at that. That's up to them. And it may be something that with the change in electronic signs, they're becoming more of them. Maybe it is something to approach again, but from a practical perspective as staff, knowing how a previous board of commissioners looked at that topic, I'm not sure that it would be received any differently. So there's also, as you know, the reality of the politics of what you're working with.
Electronic signs are governed by the sign ordinance we have as it pertains to size of the sign. But it doesn't specifically prohibit or
flash.
Yeah, exactly.
You might want to put some sort of flag in there, recommendation to look at that. I don't know the politics, but it needs to be there in some form. Maybe there's a recommendation or something like that, because like you said, Mark, it's coming. And it's going to affect the pristine nature of traffic and visitors and tourism and stuff like that, which is part of the bread and butter of the culture here.
Thank you. Question. You said that you found in Raleigh that height did not impact readability or visibility.
Yeah, it was inconsequential.
How did you determine that? Did somebody do a study on that?
The feds have a study out. And y'all have access to a really good resource over across the hall, the Cooperative Extension Service, which they have a component, a development component, that you can call in people from NC State to speak to that. But it was a federal study that we found. And then we enhanced it a little bit creatively. Well, thank y'all for letting me come over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
We do have a 15-minute time limit on this section of public comment. I didn't mention beforehand, our policy does limit speakers to 3 minutes. If you've taken the time to research and you want to speak to us, I think the board, I'm speaking on behalf of the board, then correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're taking the time to come down, we don't want to limit your ability to address us, but we do ask that you respect everybody's time. So anybody else want to speak before we move on? Again, you can speak during the sign ordinance option as well if you want to. Any more public comment? Thank you, Mr. Brothers.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. All right, seeing none, we will move on to approval of the agenda. Approval of tonight's agenda. I'm assuming everyone's had a chance to look at that.
Move we approve it as presented.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Passes unanimous. And the next agenda item is approval of minutes. We have two sets of minutes to approve from May 18th, 2017 meeting and the June 15th, 2017 meeting. I've had a chance to look over those. I will entertain a motion or any corrections that need to be made.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Can we approve both sets? Okay. All right. That's a motion to approve both sets.
No, sure.
Okay. All right. Have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from May and June. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Passes unanimous. Okay. And the next item on the agenda is subdivision approvals and updates. I'll turn it over to Joy.
In front of you, there is a subdivision and exemption sheet. The date at the top is wrong. It is May 18th through July 19th. And so that is why it is two sheets. We did not review this back in June because of the joint meeting with the City of Brevard's Planning Department. But in the last 2 months, we've had 20 exception plats, 2 plat reviews where we just review an existing plat. It may have a new easement on it, or they may want to review it for another purpose. And then 3 subdivisions, all one lot subdivisions.
Do we have to approve these, or is this just,
information.
Right. Anybody have questions? Any members have questions about this? All right, seeing none, we will move on to old business, and the first item under old business brings us to the sign ordinance. So who's providing the update?
I'm going to start with Joyce. As you instructed us at the last meeting, after the joint meeting, you stayed a little bit longer. We went through the changes to the ordinance. You said the changes that had been made looked good, but please take it out to the public. We have advertised this in paper, both hard copy, electronically. We have mailed copies to sign companies, printing companies, in fact, and a number of other people, just to say, we wanted to do 2 things. One, remind particularly sign companies, we do have an ordinance. And then 2, if you have thoughts or suggestions, Planning Board would like to actually have input. And thus far, Blue Ridge Quick Print called yesterday. They received, they said they had no comments, and in fact really appreciated the fact that we have an ordinance here. But we've actually had very little comment from the advertisement we've put out there. So with that, the changes that are in red line strikeout are the same that you had at the last meeting. We have had Joy, Kaylin, and I did meet with representatives from the Cedar Mountain area that were, and I was going to talk a little bit about this under director's report, but they were very concerned with the Dollar General store. But as we started talking and had that conversation, one of the areas of interest is signage. And I think that we do have some very affirmative comments about the ordinance and maybe ways that we might want to address some changes to it. And so with that, do you have any questions of Joy or me as it relates to the draft that you have right now?
I would like to remind people that as we worked on the draft, the changes that everyone agreed on were removed from the red line strikeout. This is all of the changes between the current ordinance and the last working draft that the Planning Board saw.
Right.
And so that is why there's so many red marks.
So staff, really, we have the same draft changes that you had at the last meeting. I know that there are several people here that would like to continue to talk about the proposed changes and other concerns that they might have, and I would just simply ask them to provide that input and take it under advisement for the next meeting. Staff has, we received some of the comments today. I think what we would like to do is go back once you've heard the suggestions and have a chance to look at those, see how they might fit in, concerns that we might have, or ways that that actually, in our opinion, enhances the ordinance that we have now.
And we do have the draft for the sign control ordinance that you're looking at electronically, if you want to play with words.
Tonight. Yes.
So if that is a desire, just let me know and I'll pull it up on the screen.
All right. Thank you. If the board is okay with it, I'll go ahead and allow some public comment about the sign ordinance. Okay. We're going to open the floor back up for public comment on the sign ordinance. Go ahead. Please state your name.
My name is Jan Nickerson, and you'll forgive me for not standing up. I broke my foot on Monday. Because I'm the only way to walk on it. So I've lived in Transylvania County for 14 years with my husband, John, and he and I have compiled these songs, so I'm going to try to keep it to the 3 minutes, but not over six.
That'll be just fine.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
So, first I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to this. I think it's a very important part of the character of our county, of our community. And I want to preface it by saying, I don't know how many years those Brevard signs have been in there, those nice brown signs, directional. Those are lovely. 4 years. Those are great. I think that they really contribute to the character of the entire community, not just the city. And I would be happy to have commercial signs take a page out of the book that created those signs. And I realize we can't regulate content and all that. I realize that. I also would like to say that I'm delighted to have had the opportunity to educate myself on our ordinance and learned that off-premise signs are not permitted on scenic corridors. I think that is very appropriate for a county whose nature, environment, and scenic beauty attracts residents and tourists alike. That's all important to us. There are six categories I've identified for observations, thoughts. The first one is the Transylvania County Scenic Corridor. There's a definition at 1.19 that focuses on mountain views, and I realize that this ordinance is also defined in the Scenic Corridor Designation Ordinance, so you don't wholly control it. The definition speaks to mountain views. I'd like to invite us to consider that it's the experience of the mountains that is appropriate to a scenic corridor. And so when you drive up 276 to the parkway, you don't have mountain views. You have the experience of the mountains. And that's an appropriate scenic corridor. And it's appropriate that there's no off-premise signs there. So I would like to suggest that the Transylvania County Scenic Corridor roadways are particularly beautiful and offer the most outstanding experience, not views, but experience, of the natural grandeur of our environment, which may include mountains, waterfalls, streams, creeks, and forests, as seen by the public while traveling on the roads and highways in Transylvania County. Getting to the signage part of the scenic corridors, right now we restrict, as I understand, off-premise signs. And given that those who were surveyed for our comprehensive plan so liked our small town, rural atmosphere, and scenic beauty, I wonder if the board would consider applying further size, material, and height restrictions to on-premises signs on scenic corridors. Just a thought. My second topic is safety. I'm very glad to see that there are restrictions on, and stop me if you want to ask about any of them, on signs creating unsafe distractions to motorists. Al did a great job addressing this. As I read 4.2, it looks like the definition is flashing or blinking lights or moving parts which simulate movement. I'd love to see those as examples of, rather than definition of. And another example that I would consider to be unsafe would be upside down lettering.
That is unsafe.
As the pastor, I keep on trying to read. What are they saying there?
Yeah, I try to decide. I try to decide. Do they do that on purpose or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we have examples rather than the definition of it, it might open up to something else we haven't thought of that somebody else is going to come up with. Third is county character. We're going to provide you with a photo study of some beautiful signage in the county. It happens to be along 276 South. That photo study that John and I did a couple of Sundays ago inspired the following comments. And again, given the appreciation for our small town rural atmosphere and scenic beauty and desire to preserve safety, please consider on off-premise signs reducing the maximum height to 15 feet. It's 25 feet now. Consider reducing it. We were delighted Dollar General agreed to offer to. And to reduce the size from 150 square feet to 100 square feet per sign. It just seems so more in character with the brand of what we have, of what attracts people to live here and to visit. Or maybe restricting the cumulative signage per establishment per road to 150 square feet. Okay, more than one sign, but cumulatively not more than 150 square feet. Or cumulatively not more than 20 feet wide. Whereas there's 20 feet now. Consider establishing a distance between signs per establishment to 2,000 feet from any other off-premise sign. So it's not pigeon-forged. On-premise sign regulation, both attached and freestanding, I don't have Al's expertise. I just learned this from what I've been studying on your ordinance, which has been very, very helpful. For the on-premise sign, consider, again, reducing the maximum height from 25 feet to 12 to 15 feet. Retaining the proximity of the sign to the edge of the traveled way at 20 feet, at least for roads, at 20 feet for those roads over four lanes. Restricting the size per establishment to only one freestanding and one attached at all, or per road, or visible by a scenic corridor, you know, however far you are comfortable going. I'd love to see fewer than more. The next three are much shorter. Materials. I didn't see any limitation of specification of materials relative, and wonder if for our county, who we are, whether we might want to consider natural looking materials, at least in some areas, for on-premises and off-premises. Lighting, Al did a much better job about lighting than I could. I don't like the light pollution. I really like it when people have those gooseneck lights for really nice muted ground lighting. Much more attractive. So to the extent that we can register, have regulations on that. And then finally on implementation, I wasn't sure whether you grandfather existing establishments. I learned from Al a concept of, instead of grandfathering it, he used the term amortization. So what's the remaining life of the sign? If it's a 10-year life, okay, you get to non-conform during the life of that sign, but not the son of sign and the son of sign. It's just that sign. As a good way to get your change of regulations implemented. John is going to share with you these notes. There is a page 2 that I won't take you through. It's more detailed. But it's free consideration on continuing to have toward your efforts of strengthening the design ordinance. So thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts. And for your I understand they're all volunteers, so thank you for that. And thank you for your attention to what I consider to be a really important part of the branding of the county.
Thank you. Thank you for the time and effort you put into these proposals, and we will certainly take those into consideration. And before we finish a draft that just so everyone understands, we send our proposal to the commissioners, and the commissioners have to approve it or kick it out or throw it back to us or change it and approve it. So this is just one step in the process.
Thank you.
And of course, to in an effort to make sure we spend our time worthwhile, as well as yours, as well as the commissioners, we make every effort to try to send them something we believe that they'll be, for the most part, okay with, that'll pass, and then we can move on to other issues and objectives and allow them to do the same as well. So,
if I can just add one thing.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
I appreciate the realities of the political situation in which you work and all that. When I first wrote to the CEO and the SVP Real Estate at Dollar General, mm-hmm. I didn't expect them to be receptive to our suggestions.
Yeah.
And they knocked their socks off.
Yes. It's impressive. It's nice to see business react like that, and to work with the people in the community. It's encouraging to see that. Of course, you're the people that, you know, the community are the people that they want to build to. So it's not good to start off on the bad foot and lose shoppers right away. But it was very refreshing to see that. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
I have a question about procedure. When
yes.
When you finish your draft and submit to the commissioners, they review it. Do they then hold hearings? Do you have a chance to argue your points? Or, I mean, just not argue, but support your ideas and defend some of the changes and suggestions you've made? And does the public have a role in that process when it's at the commissioner level?
Yes to both of those. They will hold a public hearing on it. How does that usually work? Before, after they make changes? After they make changes, they typically have a public hearing. I should know this.
Yeah.
I haven't sat up there for 8 years, but I'm a little foggy.
So this is not a public hearing. This is just it's a meeting inviting public comment, which is fantastic.
Right.
Planning board staff will go back and take these comments that we've received and any others that we've received tonight. Staff will look and say, that makes a lot of sense. Here's what we would do to put this in and make it work. Or, that was really a great idea, or sounds like a great idea, but you can't do it. It's not a practical idea. At our next meeting, we will come back and staff will address all of the things that have been presented. Planning board will then wordsmith what they like. And then, at the end of that meeting, they may be in a position to say, let's go ahead and approve this as a draft to submit to the county commission. County commissioners will receive it. Staff will discuss with the county manager. We may even have workshops with some of the county commissioners so that they understand what's in there. County commissioners will then hold a public hearing. And at that point in time, based on public hearing, then usually this is something that Daryl was very good at. They generally don't vote to approve or disapprove an ordinance the same night they have a public hearing, just because they don't want to seem like it was a done deal.
Yeah.
So they will reflect on it, and at the following meeting, they will come back and say, this is really good. You took public input. You've improved it. We liked it. We had a public hearing. It was favorable. We approve it, and they adopt it, and it becomes the ordinance. They may come back and say, you know what, guys? We don't like this section, and we're not going to create the change, and they'll kick it back to the planning board and staff, and we rework it. Or they may have some very easy wordsmithing, and they say, if we do this, we're satisfied, and we can adopt it, and they can do that. So it's
It's a process, but it will go to the commissioners probably after the next meeting, next planning board meeting, and then the commissioners get to do with it as they want. Does that make sense?
So in other words, there's a lot of different options it can take. Yes.
I wasn't prepared to talk, so I didn't bring the literature. But I've given your name. Oh, yeah. Jane Adair. But as fresh eyes who hasn't grown up in the area, so everything seems new and special. Having gone to the Chamber of Commerce and gone through the racks, this area is promoted to the bicyclists, to the motorcyclists, and it has a designation, there are 9 areas of the United States. This area was designated 1 of 9 areas by the national government to be a heritage area. So that, with your tourism money, your camp desirability, your promotion of what you are, it comes down to dollars and cents, and you can't have it back once it's gone. And so with fresh eyes, if you look at it, how the nation selected you as 1 of 9 places for a heritage special designation to protect. And I looked on the map, we're particularly looking at 276, because when I got here, I got the one that said the Scenic Arts Area, and I started to memorize it and carry it and go to every art place on that, because it had the little brochure. So that's what the local area was calling it. So with that all in mind, it's dollars and cents and something you can't get back. And so I think that's the important thing to recognize, is to hold and treasure and respect what you have. And the carrot could be, I haven't had the time to put into it, and it's not my expertise, but where I've lived elsewhere, there's historic church preservation societies and money that might hold and upgrade and allow visitation and mapping. That heritage brochure covered a large part of this area, and it didn't have anything listed on 276, so we haven't capitalized on that 1 of 9 places in the United States heritage. So if we do in fact recognize the treasure, and if we want to call 276 a place that when they put out that national map and show it, we can start marking all the places where people want to spend money, where people want to travel by, and that makes it all the more reasonable not to have Dollywood or Pigeon Forge with strobe lights and movies back-to-back and car lots, because you've got something. The question is, do you care? Do you want to keep what you have, what has been recognized, and do you recognize it enough to protect it?
Thank you.
For the benefit of the planning board members, I want to particularly thank Jane and her husband John for the work that they did in documenting the signs on 276. And that's really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in fact, I think what I'm going to mention a little bit later under a planning director's report will tie back to this. But yeah, I think if I remember correctly, you took a picture of every sign.
Every establishment sign, every community sign. We didn't say, oh, we don't like Sioux sign so much. No, every sign went in there,
yeah.
And they're all lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a great resource that we have. Now, we're looking at the entire county. Again, we'll come back to 276 in the Cedar Mountain area for something else, but it really does provide, when I saw these the first time, so you know what? There is a certain character,
right,
that maybe we do need to look at material, construction material of signs. And so staff is going to go back in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to try to come up with some wording that you might want to consider at the next meeting.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on the sign ordinance? Yes, ma'am.
I just had a question. This is an ordinance.
You get a good name.
Oh, Margaret McCary.
Okay, thank you.
The ordinance is for the whole county.
That's correct.
And there are many beautiful parts of the county, but I'm on 276 from here to 10. And so that's the part that I know the best, and that is particularly untouched, and that's what Jan Anderson documented. Is there any difference, or is every, it seems like maybe some ordinance, that some areas would call for, you know, more commercial signage than along there, or does the ordinance apply to every sign within the county?
This ordinance applies to all signs in the county outside of the City of Brevard's planning and extraterritorial jurisdiction. So it is countywide. There is a provision for off-premise signs in the scenic corridors. One of the things that Jan talked about was maybe we would want to consider either in the scenic corridor ordinance looking at on-premise signs or looking at materials and signs to protect 276 as a unique area. And so, but this ordinance is countywide, and I think that's the focus. The planning board is focused on the entire county.
And how many scenic corridors are there?
Scenic corridors. It's another ordinance that ties into this.
Right.
We've got 281 South. We have US 64 from the top of New Cut coming back down towards Cherryfield. So that is a scenic corridor. NC 280 from the top of Little Mountain coming down to Pisgah Forest is a scenic corridor. You take that, you go up that rise, and you look up, and there's that expanse right in front of you. That's a scenic corridor. Cascade Lake is a scenic.
Staten Road
is a scenic corridor. Those are scenic corridors. And it could be that we look and say, based on citizen input, planning board may look at the scenic corridor ordinance and say we need to add other areas. So that would be a way of addressing that. But those are the scenic corridors that we have in the county that we are responsible for.
Any other comment or questions? Yes, sir.
With the pace of these of development is happening faster than the pace of being able to make changes in signage ordinances or any kind of regulation. Things in the commercial world happen like that. And yet we've got situations out there that are potentially unregulated that they're writing permits for right now. It's going to happen pretty fast. How does one step back and look at the permitting process a little bit to kind of say, yeah, we need about 6 months to think about some of this stuff?
My guess is that's a rhetorical question because you already know the answer. You would have a moratorium would be something. But I think that in this case, we're probably, with this, maybe only a couple months out to getting something to the county commissioners. And having an office right across from the permitting department, I don't see anything that is coming down that's going to change the nature of this. County commissioners have adopted moratorium for different ordinances. We had a high impact land use that was looked at one time, and the commissioners had a moratorium that placed temporary moratoriums on cell phone tele towers. There was a 6-month moratorium on that. We have had moratoriums on the sign control ordinance when we thought there was going to be something. I think we have an ordinance in place, and while we're trying to improve it, it does provide some protection, and I think everything that I've heard enhances. If we didn't have an ordinance, I would be concerned, and I think your point would be well taken. But I think we have something right now that is appropriate. Can we make it better? Moratoriums for the rest of the audience. The courts typically look and say, you can do a moratorium for about 6 months. Anything over 6 months is gray, and by the time you get to 12 months, the courts have ruled and have basically said, you basically didn't want these, and you are, by fact, trying to prevent them, and they've thrown those moratoriums out. So a moratorium really has to be something that is a short duration, 6 months being something that's reasonable. I think we can have something well within 6 months.
And I think without a pressing issue, the commissioners don't pass moratoriums lightly.
Yeah.
Is a point I'm trying to make. Without a pressing issue or something to push them to that, it's not more than likely something they would consider. Any other comments or questions?
From staff's perspective, again, thank you for your feedback and suggestions.
Yes, thank you. We really appreciate you taking the time to be involved in your local government. This is what makes us truly unique as a nation, that we can be involved in the direction that we're taking here in the county at all levels. So we appreciate the time and effort you all put into it. Yes?
I'd like to say something just as a relative newcomer. I mean, I've been coming here, I remember 65 years worth of coming here. The first three or four are just snapshots. But I grew up in the country, and was lucky to do so. I grew up on a 50-acre farm down in Alabama. And that road is now, I mean, I go back there and I can see the old farmhouse where I grew up and some of the distinguishing characteristics of that stretch of road. It was just beautiful. But it's everywhere. But town has now grown here, but the farm across the street is the soccer complex for the whole city. And the city is a college town, Auburn.
Okay.
And it has grown tremendously and so fast. But there's just nowhere to go, and when it happens that fast, sometimes I'm real sensitive about not having been here that long. My parents were here before me for 25 years. Now it's my home for the last 14. But as I said, we came up here to cool off from down in Alabama, and those roadways are treasures, and the ones that weren't protected are gone. And there is no getting them back. It's such a sensitive thing to come to make your home in a place that's whose heritage is treasured by the generations that have kept it. But it means a lot to everybody. And where some of us who didn't grow up here necessarily come from, we see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this place is a treasure to call home.
Absolutely.
And it's a limited commodity, this kind of peace and beauty, scenic beauty, climate, and the kind of small town sense that we have here, or the essence of the small town we have. Anyway, just by way of speaking to those of us who
Thank you.
Aren't from around
here. Thank you.
Yes. Having been throughout the country, and I've often commented when I've gone to this or that town, and it looks like every other town because it's got the same storefronts everywhere you go. And at least at this point, our part of the park out to Cedar Mountain. Cedar Mountain is not like that. You don't have McDonald's and Burger King and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from at least Main Street on out.
Mm-hmm.
However, I drove to Sapphire last week, and I drove through this beautiful forest getting there, and all of a sudden it opened up, and there was big signs, big signs, big signs, like you see in these other small towns that you go through. It's just, I'd hate to see us give up that.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
If I can, two comments that I was actually going to have the planning director's report. One, there was a discussion about the city of Navarre's wayfinding signs and how nice they were, the brown signs. Transylvania County, working with the TDA, Tourism Development Authority, has made, we actually wrote, Joy and I wrote a grant to ARC, Appalachian Regional Commission, to place wayfinding signs in seven different, well, actually we've identified 10 different areas, intersections in the county that would be based on, but not exactly like the city's wayfinding signs. Those are a little bit more elaborate than we need in the county, but they would be very similar in color and style, just simpler. And so we're looking at trying to do something from a marketing standpoint that would help direct people to Cedar Mountain, to DuPont, to Gorges, to Perry, to Rosman. And so that's something. We don't have media here. We've actually are in a process. This is our third ARC grant that we've gotten in the last year and a half. We have been told that we've been given instructions to fill out forms that indicate to us that we did receive the grant. We're going through some final hoops on that, so it's not something that is public. It's not done until it is public, the governor announces. But that's something that we're working on. And then the other thing, while some of our guests are here, planning board members, are you up to speed on the Dollar General situation and what happened? I didn't know if you would be. Dollar General pulled a permit to build a store at the intersection of US 276 and Seoff Mountain Road. There was a real estate office right there. They demolished that. I think that there was an immediate concern by residents that live in the Cedar Mountain that they did not want a metal building, bright yellow, black signs, lots of lighting, similar to Dollar Generals that you have everywhere. We had individuals that are in this room reach out to county commissioners. They reached out to our office. They sought advice. We suggested a few things. And I would say, unlike Burlingame, that also had an issue with a Dollar General, they didn't want a Burlingame. Their position was, we don't want it. The position of the Cedar Mountain community was, we don't care if it's there, we just want it to, I'm going to go to the pictures that Jan provided, we want it to blend in. And I will tip my hat to Jan and others. John and Carol were, I think, all very instrumental in creating a wind, fire, whatever, S-storm you want to call it. And Dollar General probably did not know what they were dealing with. And I saw the email. It came back, and it didn't have the exact wording, but it said, cease and desist, please. We will put party plank sighting, not metal. We will use gooseneck lighting. We will landscape, we will use smaller signage. And so it's really, I think, the power of the community working to try to make a change. And also representing a community in a way that says, we're not saying we don't want you, we just want you to blend in. And I think it really worked well.
Mark, it wasn't a storm, it was just it was volume, and it was very, very positive. I mean, nobody was...
I wasn't trying to imply anything with that other end.
People just,
if
pop
up,
stood in line, just signed,
yeah, you have what, over 500 signatures?
So please fit into our community. Yeah. And I mean, that's at Cedar Mountain Community Center, Seoff Community Center. I mean, this is not just the folks who just got here.
And we never, 30 or 40 years. And we never even sent in those petitions of 500 signatures.
We just asked people to say they called it. We didn't ask them to spend their money. Our suggestion was actually save their money. And the cost of that other sign is probably two or three times what it costs to substitute it. And the same thing with the siding, they're doing hardy board.
And from the first email to the time that John and I got a phone call, for 17 days.
And all those signs that John and Jan photographed, I bet you $5 every one of them was made in Transylvania County.
Two more things. One is part of the Dollar General question was, is the first non-local business? So we're trying to let the local businesses still stay there and keep the money locally and the employment locally. Another part of it is the carrot versus the stick. They were using the carrot. Another carrot, which I'm not very skilled at, you guys know, is the grants. And there's farm heritage preservation grants, and there's easements, green grants, and everything else. Now, Dollar General, that's one thing they did. They came in with machines and took a gigantic piece of the mountain away to get their land. That could happen all along what we see green trees right now. It just takes a couple weeks before the whole mountain's gone. So the carrot, if we can figure out who does the grants, when I was at Moose Tracks, she was explaining how she got the complete grant money, I don't remember, $60,000 or much more, that was allowable because she had a 10-page business plan, and the day the grant opened up, she handed it to it, and it specifically said, rural, small town, old building in danger of being torn down.
Dini got $500,000.
$500,000, yes. And so the grants can work to do the things that will bring you the money and enhance. So the grant people need to keep alive as to how you can hold the green. The farmer will want to sell to a shopping center unless you say you can have the heritage grant and turn it to another farm.
And to bring this very explicitly back into the signage, one of our neighbors suggested that through the sponsorship of TC Arts or some artistic avenue, there could be a contest for designing a sign. And the store owner could be the decision maker, but tapping into the artistic, you know, resources, talent that we have here.
You can capitalize on it. You can make money.
Very good idea. Well, something. Thank you all. We appreciate your comments. We will have, at the end of our meeting, we'll also have another time for public comment. If something comes to mind that you didn't share, or something comes up between now and then, but we're going to move the discussion on the sign ordinance back to the board of the planning board. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, y'all, we've heard the updates. I think, you know, obviously this is still going to be on the agenda next month for us to consider some of what we've been presented with this evening. But as far as what we have before us now, do you all have any suggestions, changes, recommendations?
I would like to anticipate making any changes. I think that we were offered some interesting ideas that we need to go back as staff and see if they can be incorporated. If one, they meet statute and they fit what we think is acceptable, and that's our judgment of that for Transylvania County, and bring that back to you. So at the next meeting, I hope to have changes for you.
One thing that I'll mention that's not obviously not in the ordinance now, but it pertains to something that you're going to give consideration to, is materials. I believe us requiring materials, I don't know that it would get past this board if we specifically required certain materials. I don't think if it got past this board, I don't know that it would get past the commissioners. Therefore, I think we need to, let's look at a way to incentivize folks to use more natural materials, or whatever the case may be. Is there an option for us to do that? Can we somehow encourage people to do that? Can that be forgiving some or all of the permitting fees or something of that nature?
We've got two different processes going on.
Okay.
One is a regulatory, you've got to meet these requirements.
Yeah.
The other is, if you do these things to enhance, then we can try to, and I think that there might be, let me go back, Jordan, Taylor and I go back and see if there's a way to incorporate something. Let me, I think, Joey raised a really good point, and that is, challenge would be commissioners. I think there's even a challenge with this board on materials. We're missing two people.
Yeah.
What is your consensus? And I'm not looking for a vote. What is the consensus? What do you guys think about materials? Is that something for this ordinance, or is that something that if we look at a scenic revising the scenic corridor and including 276, or if there's a small area plan that maybe they asked to have some work on, we look at it that way. But for this ordinance, what's your thought on materials?
I think if we're going to address materials in the scenic corridor, we need to have some way that it ties back here as well.
Oh, it would.
Just in case someone along 276, they don't happen to pick up the scenic corridor ordinance and whatnot and see it listed there. They're just looking at the sign ordinance, and if there's nothing to tie it back, then they won't know there's incentive or there's, you know, something to encourage me to do something more natural or within the setting, scenic setting.
The question, though, is the question really the materials or is it the appearance? Because you could get, you know, somebody might say, I don't want to put a wood sign up there, it's going to rot, it's going to get termites. So I could put up a metal sign and you could paint it so it looks like wood and it's going to last longer. Is that really what you're after, is the actual appearance?
Yeah, I think
you really care about
the
appearance. Yeah. So
maybe it's, and that becomes very subjective.
Yes.
Materials, you can draw a line on materials. Now if you're going with appearance, that does become more subjective. And so that may be something. How do you feel?
Do we need to look over the scenic corridor?
The scenic corridor ordinance is not going to help you in terms of materials or the aesthetic of a sign. The scenic corridor ordinance is very simple. It identifies the areas defined, and then it says essentially that there is no off-premise signs allowed. And that's essentially the ordinance. It's maybe two pages, a page and a half.
The scenic corridor you mentioned from the new cut, how far down was
it? It goes down to Israel.
It's a quarter to a half mile.
It goes down to Israel. So when you, that first, there's the first intersection that you come down to, Israel goes to the mountain, and Castile, goes back to old 64 Rosman Highway. It's right there. It ends right there.
Okay.
So how do you get around if somebody says, let's say you do put some kind of stipulation on their own materials, and people say, okay, I got to make a sign out of natural wood, cedar, whatever, and they do that, but then it's got big neon orange letters on it, it's got a big green, fine green border.
I think
I meet the requirement that's made out of wood. It's got these god awful colors, and you really gain anything.
I think if we're gonna go so far as addressing that, I think we need to address that it needs to blend in with the
some kind of a color palette that they can look at before they get permitted and say it has to be within this range. I don't
want to get into color palette.
But are you getting into it? Well, I mean,
as a staff of three. and trying to figure out color palettes and then in terms of materials, you can have a polymer sign that's made that definitely has painted brown, and you would know that it's wood. And so we've got to give some thought to that. And then maybe
the direction we need to go is this is a sign that you know identifies your business. But it also fits into the local environment where it's located. I ask you about that particular corridor because all the ones you mentioned, the only scenic corridor that I think could potentially blow up and see a lot of development would be from the top of Little Mountain to Visit Forest eventually. When I say a lot of development, I mean getting rid of houses and businesses moving in there and things of that nature.
The one by DuPont is getting a lot of the
statement.
And then if we want to look at additional sustainability.
Yeah. I think it, to me, it's more appearance, really, of the sign than the materials, that it's not standing out. That it's within the, I can't think of the right words, but it's aesthetically pleasing to the local environment or whatever the case may be of that scenic corridor.
That again just to be subjective.
It does.
And you get also the situation of, let's face it, people put the signs up there and stand out.
Yeah.
Because they're advertising.
Yeah.
And so you've got both sides of that to think about. But what I find aesthetically pleasing might make it so look.
That's true, yeah.
You know.
But Mark, do you know, is there any place else that has that same issue? And my first question always is somebody else doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Steal from, you know?
Sure.
Have they codified that in terms of?
Hilton Head.
Okay.
Yeah. But are we Hilton Head?
Well,
Cashers.
Yeah. And so I think then we have to look and say, who are we? Yeah. I mean, there's this, this eclectic mix of who we are. We are a rainforest, we are rural, but we are also somewhat mountain, and there is this pride of private property and not telling people what to do with it. So it's how you find that balance.
And from my standpoint, if someone's going to bring a business, you want them to be responsible with their sign, with their building, thing of that nature, but you also don't want to be a hindrance either. So that's kind of where I'm trying to find a happy medium.
Do you have any other thoughts? I think we'll work on it. We'll look at other examples and try to figure out what we think makes sense. I've shared concerns about, I think that this is a fairly conservative planning board. And overall, if there was a vote, I think it would probably... We're missing two key people here in this discussion, but I think all of us know where those two people would be on this topic. But let us try to come up with something and wow you at the next meeting.
Sounds good. We will prepare to be wowed.
I think that we have not, until tonight, really got into this fitting in situation.
Yeah, we
have.
We
just really happened to be that this issue with Dollar General very good itself. Yeah.
I'm sorry, did the Dollar General already have an obtrusive sign up?
No.
They haven't done anything yet.
They had just gotten
the word. Was it a bright yellow? I remember seeing it one time. I didn't know it was coming.
They had ordered the 16-foot pylon upon which they would have put a 6x16-foot bright yellow, and they canceled that order.
They'll use it in Arkansas.
I was going to say, you are lucky you found out ahead of time. They were putting signs up before I knew it was a Dollar General going in down on New 64 in Little River down in Penrose where I live. But anyway, okay. Any other comments on the sign ordinance? We will entertain some of these.
I have questions. We've talked about materials. What about the scenic corridors? What about the lighting? I'm thinking, just looking at all the signs, I never thought about it. It's almost like everybody had the same mindset of, let's have a nice looking sign that fits in a mountain. You know, community.
Not garish.
None of them are.
Well,
What's the feasibility of having a within the sign control ordinance a special section that applies to scenic corridor?
Yeah.
It may not apply to the entire county, but it applies to scenic corridors. Okay. That might be some sort of compromise that we can get through. I don't know. But I just throw that out there for consideration.
I will ask. I'm going to follow up on Joy's question.
Okay.
I really think we can come back with some suggestions, and then you guys can shoot it down or say like it or modify it. But I have taken hits before on electronic signs.
Yeah.
I actually think that there should be some nominal regulations for electronic signs. It's not that I necessarily find them to be offensive, though. I think some of the electronic signs are actually, from a standpoint of advertising, can be very good. The Brevard College sign is meaningless. You can't read it. Inmark is a little bit better, but not a whole lot. But there are, the quality of signs is good now, but what you don't want is something that has flashing stars and strobes that really do become distractions.
Right.
And so,
yeah, I'm sorry.
What's your thought? And do you want us to take a look at it?
Have we specifically said we didn't want to look at that? I don't recall this board specifically saying we don't want to touch it.
I don't think we have.
Now, and I will say, I was...
I've asked if you guys wanted to go address lighting any further than what we have, and you guys have said no.
Well, I think we were thinking about lighted signs.
Not electronic.
Right.
But that's lighted from within.
Right.
I will say, I was a commissioner when the sign ordinance came, and I'm pretty sure I voted against changing or addressing those electronic signs. Since that time, electronic signs have changed a great deal. they are much more like TV screen now. So, and thus, my position has changed and evolved. So, I'm not opposed to us giving it consideration.
All right.
To me, it's, you address the safety aspects.
That's what we're looking at. Lumens, we're going to be looking at lumens. We're going to be looking at the playtime or the rotation of something, how frequent a sign image changes.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are looking at like 6 seconds. I mean, and then not less than 6 seconds, so that it's not, you're not trying to catch three different images as you drive by it.
Yeah.
So that's really what, we don't want the brightness. We don't want something that has a lot of simulated moving parts to it. And the frequency of the change.
Okay.
You know, it's all right to have an open sign or something like that in the window that's electronic.
Yeah.
That sits there and says open all day. That's, to me, that's okay. But when you get into the constant change, you know, very distracting.
Things that are trying to pull your attention away from the road.
Right.
To see what's over there. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we move on? Okay.
I'd like to note there is one electronic sign that we permitted in the last year, and that was one at Anchor Baptist, which I think you probably drive by.
I do.
I don't know if you are familiar with Anchor Baptist. It gives you an idea of what the, you know, what's a modern, if someone were wanting a modern electronic sign, what it would look like, then I think you guys see it. And it really varies depending on the time of day that you drive through there.
I have, living in that area, I've driven by daytime, nighttime. It sits far enough off the road. They do have very nice graphics on that sign, but to me, it's not distracting.
It's off the road
enough, and they're not flashing lights or anything of that nature to say, "Hey, pull in here."
Right.
You know, they're just, you know, they have some nice graphics about, you know, whatever the holiday is, whatever the case may be. But, in that case, you know, I think what they're doing is okay. Where I think would need to be addressed is extremely bright or flashy or making an overt effort to draw your attention from the road.
It's not allowed based on the ordinance, current ordinance.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Everybody okay with moving on to the next item?
We will try to have a draft out to you a week in advance.
Okay.
So that you can take a look at it, and we will I think if it's appropriate, and it is appropriate, we'll share the draft with individuals that have attended the meeting tonight so that they can see.
Absolutely.
In advance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's absolutely fine. All right, moving on to item B under old business, the NC280 proposed multi-use path. Dave?
Joy and I have been working on multi-use path. We both have attended a number of meetings. We've had public outreach sessions at the gym, at Pisgah Forest County Gym at North Transylvania Fire Department. And then we both spent the better part of the 4th of July at a booth in downtown promoting that. Joy, actually, why don't you, some of the things that you've done in addition, and maybe a little bit more of the technical of what we're doing.
Okay. So the intent of the public outreach is to get an idea of whether the community is in support of the general idea of a multi-use path that would connect Mills River to Brevard. And if there is support in the community for such an idea and the county commissioners support it, then we would look at getting grant funding or funding for an engineering analysis to determine the exact location and design alternatives that are appropriate for the area. And then there would be public input again after design alternatives and location determinations are proposed. And if public support continues, then we would go after funding to support the construction. And so we are early in the process, but we have had over 638 responses to a survey, and generally about 86% are supportive of this particular. And the survey is such that 86% of the respondents would use the path along NC280. That is how they're, what I am interpreting as being supportive.
So a lot of effort.
I was going to say, if we don't, can't turn it down,
recess.
You want to
get down?
Jacket. Turn it off is what I want.
Teach you from wearing shorts to a meeting tonight.
Really?
I said we'll walk out of the house. Probably should go for a little while.
Well,
it's just a group of people.
Most of the responses that we've had on this are very affirmative. As Joy just pointed out, we're at the public input right now. County commissioners have basically said we endorse the whole process started with Mills River and Land of Sky. County commissioners learned about it just about the same time that the county manager was hired. When Jamie came on, she was aware of it because she was Mills River. And so the county said, yeah, let's see what we can do to engage in this process. There are a lot of issues with this. One is cost. Typically, you're looking at about $1 million a mile for a multi-use path. The good news is 80% of that today is covered by NCDOT with state or federal funds. 20% would have to be local. That's one thing. You have concern of how do you access it. What about people that are cut off? What about people that live along that? How are they going to be affected by this? So those are things that we're looking at. We will take all of this public input and try to decipher it, take it back to the manager and to the commissioners, and see where they would like to go with this. Now, we are in the process right now, and we've shared this with you before, the county received a North Carolina Department of Transportation comprehensive bike grant, bike study grant. So we are starting this fall. We will be looking at a comprehensive bike plan for the entire county. And so that's another piece of kind of this puzzle of how do we
look at biking not only for recreation but also for transportation purposes. And one of the things that we've talked about when we submitted the bike grant was, is there a way using the existing right-of-way from Tabard to Rosman to actually put in a bike path that somebody living in Rosman, working in Tabard, could actually use as a way of transportation, not just recreation, but actually transportation. And so that's something that we're working on. I know that we've had some of the questions. I had a radio interview on WSQL this past Wednesday, and Robert Frank asked the question, well, how will this 280 multi-use path relate to or connect to or maybe even compete with the Acosta Trail? So how do you look at that? And Stephen, in fact, and I had a conversation about that earlier, is this something that would take away or does it enhance? And actually, I think what you're going to see from a regional perspective, it only enhances because there's actually an effort to get a bike multi-use path from Mills River to Babard, ultimately to Hendersonville, and then Hendersonville back up to the Arden-Fletcher area. And so now you've got this really wonderful attribute that is going to be an economic driver and something for the health of our citizens. And so I think it actually will contribute to the overall awareness in terms of actually competing with, I think that's a whole different track, but we can have a discussion on that at a later date, maybe bring somebody else in to talk about that if you as a board wanted to have somebody come in and talk about the Acosta Trail relative to the NC-280. So I see a nod over
there. Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to see where that's at. I think that's one. I know it's a kind of a touchy subject, but it seems like a no-brainer to me. I'd like to see where we're at on.
So what I will do is within the next two or three meetings, try to get somebody to come in and talk about. I'd like to use the next meeting to focus on sign control, so maybe in September, get somebody to come in. We can get somebody from Land of Sky to talk about NC-280. You're shaking your head, yes, ma'am.
Daniel Cobb had mentioned September for another joint meeting to compare and brainstorm collaboration.
And actually, I think both would be great topics for a joint meeting. I think that they would be interested in it, and I think we would be. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you. And actually, Steve is the one that prior to the meeting came up and said, Mark, I'd like to see a little bit more. So. All right. And the comprehensive plan actually supports these. It just says that we support multi-use trails. Mm-hmm. And so the last thing I want is for 10 years to have a new planning board member that becomes a chair saying, well, what did you do? Because we've already done a lot. We've done a lot. That's all. Do you have anything else on 280?
Okay. All right. Moving on to new business, planning director update.
I've already covered a lot. You know, the audience prompted quite a bit with the Dollar General store looking at the potential of a community wanting to approach us for a small area plan or at least having a discussion about what that area would look like. And in fact, yesterday we met with representatives from Glen Cannon saying we would like to look at and say how we might look at a small area type plan that would include not just Glen Cannon but maybe the farms in front along the French Broad and look at that. So we offered some suggestions to that group that came in from Glen Cannon. So there is interest in small area plans and trying to protect the uniqueness of those areas. So that's something that we have. Joy has been very involved with the home grant, all capital HOME, home funds. We got $165,000 to rehabilitate homes that would then, once rehabilitated, would meet current code, building code, for HVAC, plumbing, electrical, insulation. I've done this before. I've done it many times. I saw this opportunity. I was willing to let it go. But Kaylin and Joy looked at me and said, why would we? And I would say they probably are saying maybe we should have. The amount of effort is tremendous, but we are in the process right now. You've probably seen ads, electronic and paper. We've also distributed to many of the different service organizations, nonprofits, saying if you know of somebody that is a homeowner that has limited income and has a home that was built after 1978, come talk to us and fill out an application. We might be able to help you renovate that house. And 1978, the significance of that is what? Lead paint, exactly. And the reason, lead paint.
Lead paint, okay.
And there probably are more homes that are older than 1978 that could use these funds.
I'm going to ask you why.
But the reality is the expense to meet the federal requirements to both identify and then mitigate lead, you can't do anything. It just eats up way too much money, so that's why.
You run through $165,000 in a house.
Maybe two houses, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than three.
Yeah.
Rather than three. So, we're working on that, so Joy's done a great job on that. A lot of outreach. That's one thing I think our office has probably done. If you look at our website and you look at the work that Joy and Kaylin are doing to help people understand what our office is doing, I think they're doing a phenomenal job. Last thing that I have, last Tuesday we had a really great speaker come into the community, Reverend Dr. Gary Gunderson. And this is under Project Empathy, something that actually started out of the planning board's efforts and going out. And it specifically tied back to the Toxaway Community Center and looking at issues of equity that came up and then discussions about empathy and how do we relate to one another, how do we talk to each other. And had a really good event last week, and now we're working on something probably in September to try to help bring the community together on different topics.
All the communities, or you just have to talk to them?
No. This would be we're trying to figure out how countywide do we actually make this work. And one of the things that has been suggested is that Project Empathy might be able to find a way of having storytelling at community centers, so that the Rosman Community Center, there could be a storytelling of who we are, what our values are. Rosenwald, same thing. And then how do you engage both and maybe have a fishbowl conversation of two or three people from each community that start telling their story. And then you broaden that discussion out a little bit further. But the interesting thing with Gary Gunderson last week was if he said it once, he said it a dozen times, the significance of planning and community and what we're doing right now. And so it was a fun conversation. I think the event was filmed. Once we get that, we will post that on our website. Is there anything else that I've missed that we need to talk about?
Allison, did I ask?
Take it away. You've been doing well on that.
Through the Joint Historic Preservation Commission, another board that our office supports, we were able to get some state funds to help with the renovation restoration of the Allison Dever House. And they are going to have a hard hat tour on the 26th of July, if you guys want to go and see it. And that is one of the assets that we have here in the county that should be on the Heritage Trail, that should be just publicized everywhere. One of the oldest frame houses in Western North Carolina. And so it is a wonderful thing, and they have been doing a lot of work getting the roof fixed. There was water getting in through the roof and through the windows.
that needed to be stopped.
Actually, I have two more things. In this year's budget, the county commissioners have appropriated $50,000 for community centers and trying to figure out how we can help them become more established. And one of the ways of doing that is through, you'll find this interesting, Daryl, connectivity with Wi-Fi and having them as a hotspot, much like the Cedar Mountain Community Center has a hotspot there that you see people as they're going home stopping and taking care of last pieces of business before they go on. And so we have $50,000. Kaylin has spent a tremendous amount of time on this project trying to put together what that program of work would look like. And we will be working with the county manager over the next couple of months to see how we actually deploy that. The second thing the county commissioners put money in our budget for is special projects. And specifically, it ties into work with the Community Land Trust. That's a group that was originally formed by the school board. You may remember when you were commissioner, formed by the school board to develop workforce housing, particularly for teachers. Local legislation was introduced in the legislature that allows this to apply to employees of the school system, the county, and the city. So that would include your sheriff deputies as well as police. We are now in a process where the CLT really doesn't have a whole lot more that they can do right now. And we, within the Planning Community Development Office, are going to try to come up with what are the specific things that the county, the city, and the town of Rosman can do to affect change for workforce housing. And I'm going to define that affordable housing being 80% or lower of median income, workforce housing being 80 to 120%. And it's that, you know, when you have 80% of median income, there's a lot of assistance out there. If you have 120, 140% of median income, you don't need a whole lot of assistance. It's that 80 to 120 that we're concerned with. It's the teachers, it's the sheriff's deputies. And so one of the things that I think would really be helpful is to have infrastructure in places where we've talked about infrastructure for economic development. Infrastructure is needed for greater density. You cannot have 16 units. You can, but you have to have an engineered design system. But you really need to have water and sewer if you want to have increased density. And so that's something that the county might be able to help with, is offsetting the cost of that. We also know that in the city of Brevard, right now, by right, you can only place 6 units on 1 acre. And by right. And the challenge on that is a developer could go under a PUD, planned unit development, but that usually takes, correct me if I'm wrong, 6 to 8 months. And that's a negotiated process. And you don't know what the outcome of that's going to be when you start. And so there is a real effort. And Charlie Landreth on City Council has actually asked staff to look and say, how can we, by right, for certain districts within the city, be able to put at least 10, maybe 15 units per acre? But the reality is it needs to be closer to 20 to 25 units per acre so that you can actually get the cost down. You're talking about a 3 or 4 story building.
Yeah,
exactly.
Triple impediments to that too.
There is, but so how do we work towards
that?
How do you work towards that? And Gary Gunderson, I'll go back to the conversation that he had last week. He said he is a minister, an ordained minister for Wake Forest Medical, and so he's looking at connecting communities. But in his experience, he said, when we try to go and we try to problem solve, which we're just doing right now, we're trying to problem solve, usually what you do is you find more problems. And so what you need to be doing is looking and say, what do we want to accomplish? And look at it that way.
It's a positive way of going.
It is. So that's all I have. We've taken up a lot of time. I've taken up a lot of time.
All right. Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
All right.
Well, I thought it was among friends.
Anything for item B, other, under new business? Anything? Staff? Board members? Nothing. Okay. All right. We'll move on to, is there any additional public comment? Any additional public comment?
Thank you for hearing us.
All right. Thank you. All right. Board member comment? Start with you, Mr. Wislaw.
Well, this story about Dollar General, I think, is really cool, and I don't know if that's something you guys would do, or maybe some of the folks involved in do that. That ought to go in the paper. Right? That's a great story, and maybe that would, you know, encourage other people to step up and take action like that when things happen. But I didn't know about it.
The beautiful part of that to me is government wasn't involved.
Yeah.
It was community. Yeah. Working with a private business, and they were able to achieve things without government getting involved. Yeah. It would be really nice if
in the background,
terribly involved,
maybe in the background. Possible.
Who knows?
Consultant basis.
Yeah,
but I mean that's, you know, it looks good on folks, and it looks good on the company too. I think it's really great. I'd like to see if somebody could call somebody at the Times and just, you know, have them write that up.
We can talk about that just between yourselves just a little bit, and they've been so cooperative, they've been so helpful, we wouldn't want to put them in a position where other communities say, well, you did it for Cedar Mountain, why didn't you do it for us? We don't want to impose our success, you know, on them. So, I mean, I'd love to have a press release, but it somehow it's got to come from them, I think.
So that's just... So we're thinking maybe after, they've offered to give us kind of the design concept, in a short number of days, and next Tuesday will be 2 weeks, so we'll follow up when we haven't seen it then. And after that's kind of set, and we know it's going to stay, then we'd love to suggest that they might want to work with our two times.
Yeah,
it's a great story.
And you know, let folks see what it's going to look like. But give them the credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had no obligation.
Yeah.
They made that choice.
Well, I mean, I give yourselves the credit too.
Oh, yeah.
Light the fire. I mean, that's how it is. I have to get started.
Think what a sense of possibility it speaks to, you know, the local people talking to each other across all kinds of differences. I mean, at first people try to make it a fight.
Right.
I mean, some did. We want Dollar General. No, we're not going to stop it. I mean, there's no zoning. It's anybody can do anything. And no, we're not stopping it. We want them to just come and get in and not just be a gash or a clear cut on that corner of the county.
Somebody had to step it up.
They're running.
They had that 16-foot pole on order. You guys were willing to stop that. So.
Well, yeah, Margaret Mead said, never doubt the small group of concerned citizens can change the world. In fact, that's the only thing that ever has.
Yeah. Right. It's true. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Mr. Kennedy Jackson?
Well, yeah, I think that's remarkable out there. And I'm glad it worked out that way. I do have, listening to some of the things that I'm going to use as a word that nobody wants to hear, but you look at the Glen Canyon situation and the other planning area, of course, if you had some minor zoning and some minor restrictions around those areas, it would probably be a help. And I suspect that's what those people are asking for, is some kind of restrictions on what goes on around. You all know I lived in big towns and zoning doesn't bother me that much, but I don't want to see it countywide, and I don't want to see it restricting ownership values and ownership abilities on the thing. But it might be that we need to look at some areas like Glen Cannon that could benefit from restrictions of some kind, whether you call it zoning or just land use plan or whatever.
Anything else? Thank you. Ms. Watson.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that the 280 corridor, because the whole time we're talking about it, I'm thinking of Acusta, and then I realized, oh no, we have two things going here, you know? And I would hate to see one group feel challenged by, you know, another.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
And it's going to be interesting. And I didn't realize there was the thought of Hendersonville, you know, to measure and all that. So that's interesting. Yeah.
How do you do it?
I don't know.
And then the other night, I was thinking in terms of needs. One of the things that this community needs, and we do not have, is a true aquatic center and recreation center for adults. We have the racquet club, which is great, but it's overused, and it really does not provide for swimming and the therapeutic. Well, for therapeutic it does, but not for swimming. And so there's a, you know, how do you begin to manage some of these costs, and who benefits?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mark, you want to add anything else?
I enjoyed the meeting. I thought you had a good meeting tonight. Thank you.
Joy, Kaylin, you want to add anything? All right.
Okay.
Thank you, staff. Appreciate all the hard work y'all are doing, making our job easy. We sincerely appreciate that. Thank you to the public. Appreciate you all hanging around. Appreciate your involvement. We'll be continuing to consider this next month, so we'll hope to see you then as well. Mr. Jackson, I will say that, you know, I'm not a... Before I became a commissioner, I was big time anti-zoning. Big time anti-zoning. After my experiences as a commissioner, I've lightened up on that a good bit. But I'm a proponent of community zoning. I think a community needs to come together, like we're talking about there in Glen Cannon. You're never going to have, I won't say you'll never, but most often you're not going to have 100% buy-in. But I think if a community can come to us, work with us, and have general buy-in, and can be presented to the commissioners that the majority of the citizens want to see this type of zoning development allowed, development prohibited, right, things of that nature, then that's the way that it should be done.
Right.
Not just a blanket over the entire county.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, commissioners sitting here in town telling the folks in Balsam Grove, we're gonna zone you the same way we are the folks in Williamson Creek.
They don't need something.
Exactly. So, I'm a big proponent of community zoning, and with the folks in Glen Cannon in that area wanted to do that,
or Cedar Mountain,
if they wanted to come together, get the community involved, and you know, lay out the way you want to see your part of the community in the future, that's the way I think it should be done.
Then we could put ordinances in place
exactly.
To accomplish that. But
yeah.
Just to go out and do the whole count, I'm not a proponent of that.
Yeah.
I fight very much against it.
Yeah.
From a staff perspective, I absolutely agree, but you've got to have some uniformity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your staff is just going to be nuts trying to say, oh, we've got to remember this again. I mean, as it is, with flood damage control ordinance, with sign control, manufactured home, telecommunication tower, subdivision ordinance, I think we do a really good job, but the last thing we need to do is have a half dozen different ordinances throughout. So there's a balance.
You only need 640 acres, right?
And 10 contiguous parks.
Yes, that's right. I do. I slept a good bit since we did Pisgah Forest, but I do remember some things. That was many years ago.
You remember the casket.
Yeah, I remember the casket, absolutely. But, you know, with that said, I appreciate all of you all and the work that you do, staff and members. I won't take any more time. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All those in favor.
All right.
All right. Get up. Thank you all. I won't even ask for anybody standing against that. I always thought that was foolish.
Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Daryl. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Just don't call me Mr. Jackson.
Yeah. I know. When people call me Mr. Hugs, I'm like, nope, he lives on Mars. I'm Daryl. I know.
Do that get along all right?
He's getting along okay.
He
see
me about a month ago.
He likes to get out and love. He's
see
you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good to see you. Thank you.